All right, class, we are back for another episode of Bitcoin Kindergarten. This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're back for another Teacher's Lounge. We're at block height 702,801, and the current price per Bitcoin is $43,008, which equals out to 2,325 sats per dollar. Go get them sats, boys, because the price is pumping right now. Kindergarten pump real. So, here with my co-host, Winikus. What's good, bro? How you doing down there in the jungles? What's good you with know, you?
Just riding the waves, having fun.
Doing the do.
That's what it's all about.
Let's go. Low-key jealous of your jungle adventures. I'm not going to lie. I need to get back down there.
Bitcoin fixes this.
Let's hope so. Epic. Well, shit. Guys, what's up with you, man? It's been a week. A lot of big Bitcoin news this week, I think. Right, Winikus? I know we sleep on all the news, but it's a pretty bullish week, even though the price has kind of been a little, you know. Everyone likes to talk price, but there's been a lot of bullish stuff happening this week.
Most definitely.
All right, well, I think we'll just jump it right into the first topic. And it looks, guys, like all of Twitter is now just Bitcoin Twitter. So everyone is living in our world. It's our meme world, and they're just a part of it. So what am I talking about if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about? Well, earlier this week, since the last time we were on Teacher's Lounge, we had some waves being made on Twitter. The first probably big news really didn't do much to the price, but Twitter had opened up their API, so now you can tip Lightning over Twitter using Strike. So I think right now it's only for iOS users, and you need... I think it was 10,000 followers on Twitter to receive tips. But for all you influencers out there, you should be receiving your tips in Bitcoin, in Lightning, going straight to your... It goes to your Strike wallet, right, as cash. But I'm pretty sure they'll open it up and you'll be able to get Lightning tips over Twitter. I don't know how many users are on Twitter, but there's a shit ton. And now they're all 1 degree away from being a Bitcoiner. So, like we've said a long time ago, Bitcoin Twitter is the best part of Twitter, and now all of Twitter is now Bitcoin Twitter. So we're out here, boys. They can't get away from us, dude. We will just inevitably eat all of Twitter because Bitcoin is the greatest money ever, and Twitter will just succumb to our greatness because Bitcoiners have the best memes, and they can't stop the signal. So, shouts out to Jack Dorsey. There was some kind of a dissent on this, whether it was good or bad. But first, I'd like to get Winikus's thoughts, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the class. So, Winikus, what were you thinking, or how were you feeling when you saw... isn't Jack a memetard? Isn't he a fellow memetard, or is he a honorary factory member?
He was at one point a memetard, but he didn't contribute much, so
he got cut.
We have a limit in terms of how many elites are allowed, and Adam Back made the cut over Jack because he actually participates. So,
wow, big if true.
Jack is serious.
Wow, that's what's up. So yeah, Winikus, what were your thoughts on this?
I mean, my first thought right away when seeing Bitcoin Twitter enabled tips was, this is about to turn into OnlyFans.
You're like, not alone.
I fear for the content that will be shown on Twitter, and it's just going to start having people whore themselves on Twitter for tips. But hey, at least they're earning the best money ever.
I mean, though, is it really going to change Twitter that much, bro? People already whore themselves out for likes. I think I'd much rather them, be a real prostitute and get some real hard money. You know, whore yourself out for some sats, boys, like, and girls. I'm not being sexist here, but
hey, I will post pictures of my feet if you guys want to send me tips, but I don't have it enabled yet. So, it is exciting stuff, though, at least to see that they're using Strike's API and that they're actually showing like the sat amounts per USD that you can send. So, I mean, the education, I think, is happening, and it's going to be happening quicker than we realize. If you look at El Salvador, the president, Bukele, he tweeted some metrics based on their app usage. And I mean, I think there's like 2 million users already using the Chivo Lightning wallet. So the adoption's going to happen pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, man. Super bullish on the El Salvador news. But we'll get there. You brought up an idea. Do you really think that enabling Lightning tip, so I have a few points, will actually lower the content, the quality of content on Twitter?
I mean, I think so. I don't know about the content, but I think a lot of things will be hyper focused on like earning money versus just providing like something fruitful for everyone to like enjoy. So I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, there's a happy balance for that, though. Providing good content.
As a whole.
But yeah, and then another point you made, the education that's been happening this last week. Well, I mean, for this whole year, but in specific to this Twitter Lightning tips news, I saw a thread about, I think it was someone from Twitter or someone close to Twitter that was able to see, I think, behind the scenes, and there was some screen grabs about Twitter educating their users about custodial and non-custodial Lightning wallets. So I'm not sure if this is signs of what's coming down the pipeline, but if they are going that route of educating their users over custodial and non-custodial Lightning wallets, it does beg the question whether their Lightning tips will be opened up, you know, like an open source where you don't necessarily have to use Strike. So if that's the route that Jack is angling this, I think it could be extremely bullish into the future if you don't necessarily need to use Strike to receive Lightning tips on Twitter. That would be absolutely bullish because, you know, Strike is KYC, but it serves a really good purpose. And, I really like to use it, and a lot of people like to use it as well. And I think if Twitter opens up their API, then it's going to be extremely bullish, in my opinion. But we won't know. We'll see what happens down the pipeline. And yeah, man, I'm pretty excited. I don't think it makes that much of a difference, to be completely honest with you. Obviously, didn't really move the price, which everyone loves to see the price movement. And didn't really move the price upwards. We did have the China ban this week, or China ban again, which dropped the price. So, you know, there's a lot of forces at work right now in the Bitcoin space, but it's super bullish, man. Bullish news all around on Twitter. And then furthermore, the reason I say that Twitter is just now Bitcoin Twitter, I think the funniest part of this week was Neil Kashkari, the president of the Minnesota Fed, if I'm correct, He came out with a tweet this week and said, it was something on the lines of, like, I've been meaning to ask, but what's the deal with Bitcoiners and these laser eyes? So not only did Twitter enable lightning tips, but now we have the head president of the Fed talking about our memes. So like I said earlier, guys, it's our meme reality and everyone else is just living in it. And I have one vivid tweet in my head, and now Shishi's this week. He quote tweeted Neil Kashkari's tweet, and he just responded all caps, unbelievable. I think Shishi was on point. Like, it's crazy to me to see the president of the Fed talking about Bitcoin memes. And like I keep saying it all the time, you know, Bitcoiners have the best memes. And people can't avoid us. Like, they can try to avoid our memes, but Bitcoin is bigger than everything, and it will just eat it up. So here we are. We have the head president of the Fed talking about Bitcoin memes. Epic. Weinikus, are you not hearing me?
Before Bitcoin, like, you have NBA players and some NFL guys, like,
yeah, well, like Kelly Slade, the same thing, you know, the guy's been a pro surfer for 30 years, and you know, apparently he's friends with Jack Mallers now, which is pretty damn cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it is a new feature that most people don't have access to, from what I understand. So,
yeah, apparently it's not on Android, I don't have it yet. I haven't seen any. It's not on desktop, right? It's only on mobile.
I'm not sure.
I heard it's not on Android.
It's just on iPhones, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But I do wonder if there's people outside of Bitcoin Twitter that are using it or are even aware of it.
Probably going to take some time. You know, like those pro athletes, even if there's just a couple in each league, they start telling their teammates. And I don't know, that could lead to some fun stuff, you know, if they donate their tips or have little, you know, like if somebody pulls off the play of the night, I'm sure they get a bunch of tips, and whether they keep it or donate it, I don't know. I could see that picking up steam for people and just using it, you know, cross border, $1.50 from wherever in the world to somebody that pulls off a sick play in whatever sport, like. I could see that, you know, it might take a bit of time, but I could definitely see it going in a lot of places like that.
Yeah. You're going to have to watch out for people scamming with sob stories about some crap in their life and fake videos and whatever else that, oh, tip me some money, help me out. That you got to be careful, you know? And like you said, like OnlyFans kind of thing, like, you know that some people, I mean, you could just look at some, especially good-looking women, how many followers they have, and then you read what they say, and you go, okay, it's not because of what they say that they got all these followers, and they'll get tips for the same reason, just because they look good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way of the world. It is what it is. I don't personally care. You know, they can exploit it and make money. Hey, you know what? That's what God gave them to work with, so.
Honestly, I'm kind of bullish on Twitter thoughts using lightning tips. Like, there's a lot of simps out there. Simps make the economy turn. So if these OnlyFans girls or Twitter adult content creators are able to orange pill their simp armies to become Bitcoiners, and then in the long run Bitcoin fixes this, as in Bitcoin fixes the simps from their simp ways, then it's all good for Bitcoin. So I see this being bullish, but I don't necessarily see people right now turning on the tips feature. I mean, because they can get tips over what they're used to, you know, like Cash App or Venmo or PayPal or whatever the other tipping options are in Twitter, where they'll probably turn on the lightning tips last. But for the sake of the argument, if they were all able to, or if they all were to jump on Lightning Tips and they start their own little Bitcoin adult content economy, I'd say that's bullish for Bitcoin. But I'm an optimist, so we'll see. that's a solid voice caption right there, Winegas.
Twitter tips are going to be the new like SoundCloud shilling if people get a viral tweet.
Let's go. I'm with it.
Adoption to the roof.
Guys.
Ultimately, it's good, I think. You know, if you see content that you like and you want to send a guy a buck or two or whatever amount, and then somebody might do that for you one day, I think that's all good. But I do think there's going to be some, you know, whatever.
Yep. If I share a good banana bread recipe, then I better be
getting there you go. You never know what somebody might. You bake your banana bread and they go like, that was so good, I gotta go send that guy some money.
Hell yeah.
You never know.
I have some pretty strong views on this.
Get it, so Gigi.
I'm jumping it. I think we all view this sort of a new feature from first a very privileged perspective that we are already Bitcoiners. And I do view that as a privilege and an honor. And I think that, you know, you're trying to preserve this sort of like an online community. Whereas I don't think that getting tipped in sats is going to change who Optimus is, who Winekiss is, who Surfer Jim is, Skeep, Hobo Hodler, everybody in here, everybody that I interact with. Like, okay, they have a few more sats, like whoop-de-doo. But what does it enable? Does it enable people to earn money that couldn't before? Is it going to change people's minds about remittances because they're on Twitter and they finally realize what Lightning Network can do? Does it aid the Lightning Network to grow? Does it aid liquidity? Does it aid in the marketing of Bitcoin? Does it aid in financial security for people all across the world in terms of being able, and just another avenue to send money? Accessibility, right? I mean, ask yourself those questions. Like, yeah, maybe you're sitting here and you're like, oh, I hope like there's less simps. Like, no, they're on OnlyFans. Like, might as well funnel that through Bitcoin and Lightning Network. You know, and the censorship resistance on that end is that, like, yeah, they're getting it straight to their Strike wallet, right? Or whatever Lightning wallet eventually gets integrated there. You know, I'm sure you'll have more options in the future. But I think there's some sort of resistance there that's better than OnlyFans, who can just from one day to the next say, hey, no porn on my site, right? That controversy type thing, right? And I think, fuck it. Like, if it's going to enable people who are marginalized, like, I don't see thoughts as being, or I don't see, like, porn stars as being people that don't deserve financial inclusion. But when they go to open a bank account, historically, you know, hey, not included, right? And I think people will be incentivized to create better content. And yeah, you'll have the shitty content, but like, fuck that. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Shishi. I don't really see the angle. Well, I'm gonna comment on a few things you said. But the first one, I don't really see the angle of people saying that enabling Lightning Tips will amplify the circle jerk, because Twitter is already a circle jerk, and we've already had like Tip and Me and various other tipping Lightning tipping apps that people were able to use on Twitter, and it hasn't really changed the content or made people more circle jerkers, like more of a circle jerk. It just, you know, the good content got more tips, and those that weren't putting out good content is just like whatever. So I agree with you on that point. And then on your other point of whether like an OnlyFans girl helped Bitcoin in various ways, for the majority of those, I would say it doesn't. But when you said marketing, and there was one other one that I'm blanking right now of what you said. But it's basically on the marketing tip. and the adoption side of this. And I've kind of found the Bitcoin adoption at all costs to be kind of disgusting, for lack of better words. I can't think of a better way to put it, but I'm not one of those people that is willing to see Bitcoin be adopted at all costs.
Tell me about the cost though. Like, tell me about the cost. Like, what are they doing wrong?
Well, that's the thing. I don't necessarily see them doing anything wrong right now, but there's people out there that push the idea of like, oh, we need more Bitcoin adoption. You know, like, this should be, you know, the price of Bitcoin should be a lot higher, and it shows that people aren't adopting Bitcoin. And I'm just always like, guys, like, you know, have a little patience. Bitcoin is being adopted at a huge space.
I'd rather thoughts buy Bitcoin and become like just like Bitcoin adopters and using Lightning than any corporation.
I'd agree with you 100%.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So, and like, I don't have like I'm not like some fucking, I'll give you another thing about this. Okay. You can, like, Jim had a good point, like the GoFundMe stuff, like the sob stories that are fake. That's happening on GoFundMe every fucking day, right? If they're going to do that, at least do it through Bitcoin. You know what I mean? Like, because I see it that way too, where it's like, okay, like, at least, like, if it's legit, GoFundMe isn't taking 20% or whatever they do, right? So if they're going to raise the money anyways, like, and they raise it on Twitter, right? They take the GoFundMe tab. And they start circulating it on Twitter, and GoFundMe takes their 20%. So no matter what, they're raising this money, right? And so I think, like, maybe even on Twitter with the tips now, like, Bitcoiners are paying more attention. They'll call some things that seem fishy out, you know? And we don't know how that works out either, right? Where it's, like, more out in the open. We can see how much has been tipped and whatnot, because people will post it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I see this as, like, just like an obvious thing that Twitter would do, or any integration, right? Because you're like, okay, like, let's look at Signal, for example, right? When they announced that they're teaming up with a shitcoin to send value over Signal, what did everybody say?
Why shitcoin?
So, like, now Twitter's integrating and people are saying, oh no, it's going to change the quality of, who gives a fuck, bro? Like, it was that or a shitcoin. It's that or the US dollar. Right, yeah. Or some other shit money, yeah.
Well, it also gave the guys working on it, I'm sure they gained a lot of experience in how to get Bitcoin. Like, if it's going to be the native currency of the internet, I mean, Twitter's a huge platform. So I'm sure, you know, if Jack is really sincere about that being his goal, which is actually like a sovereign individual thesis, that, like having this digital currency. I'm sure that was really valuable experience for them too. So, I mean, it might not be perfect, but I'm sure a lot was picked up on their end too. Just how to make this, you know, this frictionless economy that's online. It's a big step in that direction.
I agree completely. And I also think that, like, what's the difference between El Salvador and Twitter adopting Bitcoin? I think it's like a network of people, right? Obviously there's big differences, but like, let's just boil it down. It's a network of people, networks of people using Bitcoin bullish, networks of people using shitcoins bearish. Simple. It's really that simple for me, but hey.
The difference, that's kind of a hard one, but, I don't know. Maybe let's jump into the El Salvador news. A Juanicus.
Sure. We want to transition?
Hit us with it.
All right, now we could officially move on.
We need a better transition sound.
Dude, that one's lit. Come on.
Very, very PBS. I love it.
Focus on the harpsichord.
Exactly.
That's our
Let's go. Yeah, so segue into the El Salvador news. So I think for our viewers, a good reference point is our boy Apex. So if you guys have watched our show, you saw that we did a presentation with our boy Apex. He went down to El Salvador literally like the week that the news came out that Bitcoin was going to become legal tender. And I remember him saying that he was kind of surprised how few people were actually using Bitcoin. And he just came out with a tweet this week. I'm pretty sure he went back down there and he was very surprised at how many people were actually using Bitcoin. So that's a firsthand experience from someone that we personally know that tells us that there's way more use of Bitcoin down in El Salvador now. And it's been, 3 weeks after legal tender status in El Salvador? So super bullish from someone we know firsthand. But the big news this week was President Bukele. Wait, is it Bukele? Bukele?
Bukele.
Bukele. He did a few bullish Bitcoin tweets this week. The first one was him saying that the government wallet, like Wanika said earlier, the government wallet known as Chivo had north of 2 million users, which is something about like 20% of all of El Salvador's citizens. So, man, that is super bullish. 20% of all El Salvadorians on one Chivo Bitcoin wallet. And like I say every week, I'm an avid fan and watcher, consumer of Simply Bitcoin. And they pointed out that not only is Chivo wallet getting a lot of love, but something like the majority of the apps in El Salvador, whether on iOS and Google, is being dominated by different Bitcoin apps. So the point of saying that is that there may be more users in El Salvador than the 2.1 million that are registered in the Chivo wallet. Because all the other apps aren't government sanctioned. They can't know, you know, who's using it and how many users are on it. So it could potentially be more, it could potentially be less. But the bullish signal in this is that El Salvadorians are actually using Bitcoin and they seem to really like it. They seem to see what we see, that Bitcoin is better money. And, you know, having the government's little dirty fingers out of your money is a good thing. And they're going to prove it, and they're proving it. And furthermore, the other bullish, super bullish tweet that Bukele put out was he came out a while ago saying that they were going to start mining Bitcoin using volcanic energy. And he did this little preview, a little trailer this week about the first steps, quote unquote, and it was a trailer of them hooking up a bunch of miners. So not only is the base president stacking stats, has his citizens using Bitcoin, but now they have a government sanctioned mining facility mining Bitcoin with volcanic energy. Like, I don't know how much more base it gets in this guy. Like, that was some super base marketing. I know it kind of went under the radar for the majority of people. Unless you're a Bitcoiner, then you probably didn't even notice. But I'm not going to lie. I kind of got some chills watching that trailer. It was pretty bullish. I was sitting there like what the hell is going on? If you would have told me 2018, 2019, that we'd have a president shilling Bitcoin mining through a trailer on Twitter, I would have thought you're lying. And man, here we are.
Big old doinks.
Big old doinks. Exactly, man. Like, how much more base can he be?
He's running El Salvador like a Bitcoin startup.
Dude, honestly, for reals.
It's incredible to see, like, this dude's pushing like a software product out to its citizens, mining Bitcoin. Like, and it's crazy. Like, I was looking on Twitter at pictures of people mining in like 2011 with a little Antminer USB chip. And like, now we're using volcanoes. Like, things are getting real.
Let's go. And yeah, man, it's funny seeing everything play out and then still seeing bearish Bitcoiners on Twitter. They're fixated on the price, or they're fixating on some adoption metric that would make Bitcoin even more bullish. I saw someone say that, you know, like, who's another rich guy that we need to orange pill? And I'm kind of like what Shishi said. Like, I really don't care about more rich people coming into Bitcoin. I know it will help my bags, and they could pump my bags. I'm all for that. But we're at this point now where Bitcoin is, what, $43,000 per Bitcoin. It's 2,324 sats per dollar. And for the majority of people, Bitcoin is already out of reach for the average person to acquire a whole coin. So as much as I want to see the price explode, I do feel like we are at that time of the cycle where we are going to go exponential. But man, I would really like for the price to maybe, you know, go a little sideways, maybe break the stock to flow chart, and people are able to stack some sats, because unit bias is a bitch and people are falling for it. And, you know, it breaks my heart, but people are going to learn and people will acquire Bitcoin at the price that they deserve. But I want to see more average people getting into Bitcoin, and, you know, there's really nothing I can do to push the quote unquote adoption curve besides just trying to help as many people as possible. But man, I would love to see, you know, the average Joe stacking more Bitcoin versus some rich guy coming in and, you know, pushing adoption. But that's my optimistic, nice guy take for tonight. But as Wynick can say, they can stay dumb. And like Tucson Bitcoin put, the yuppie elite can stay stupid. Yeah. The stay dumb bitch meme we started last week, it's been going kind of strong. Shout out Skeef. He's been going ham on the stay dumb, you bitch. So we do things over here.
We set trends.
Dude, where did we set trends? On a side note, I don't know if you guys follow Bitcoin Magazine, but one of their articles this week was The Art of Hodling. I don't know, guys. Hey, maybe we're just ahead of the curve, but y'all know who did it first. Let's go. Shout out to Bitcoin Magazine. Shout out to Nick Campmine. All right. Guys. anyone want to chime in before we hard segue?
Segue, you say?
A segue, we said. It's so 1990s PBS. Let's go. Well, Bitcoin needs some crickets. Yeah, for reals. Bitcoin was all over the news this week, and we'll get into what the government's doing and all that hopefully by the end of the show. But one article that came out this week that I thought was on the one hilarious, and on the other hand, a narrative that we've said would come out in short due time, and here we are. Bitcoiners are always right, and we're just ahead of the curve. But guys, if you didn't see this article, it's absolute trash. It's absolute hilarious. But the title, the headline, is sure to grab. Tucson gets it. The title is sure to stir up the bullshit. So this is from Fortune Mag or Fortune.com. And the title is, quote unquote, currency of the alt-right. How white supremacists and the far right use Bitcoin to evade the law and get rich. So guys, I don't know if we talked about this on Bitcoin Kindergarten, but I have talked about this a lot with other Bitcoiners, either after the show or maybe on Dirtbag Fridays. But we've been saying for a while, and I'm sure Nico and CoinAcres have said it as well, so you guys are hearing it from all sides, but we've been saying for a while that soon enough, the mainstream media will come after Bitcoiners and they will paint us as alt-right, white supremacists, you know, or alt-right radicals because we use Bitcoin. And here we literally have an article that says currency of the alt-right, how white supremacists and the far-right use Bitcoin to evade the law and get rich. Absolutely ridiculous headline. I was thinking about just going through this point by point, but literally it's trash. And if you read this article and you know anything about Bitcoin, you'll realize how much trash this is. And everyone's comments, Skeeve, the state hates you, at Joe Rogers, shout out Joe Moses, well, hello there, domestic terrorists. Oh my God. There was one point in this article that I thought was pretty funny and also nefarious, and I think foreshadowing of where they want to lead us in which direction. And here I have one paragraph, and then I'll read literally like the very last sentence of the article. But they start talking about quote unquote unhosted wallets, basically non-custodial wallets, and why they are so bad because they can't control them and they can't shut them down. But this paragraph right here, I had to screenshot it so that I can read it back to you guys because it's absolutely ridiculous. But here we go. The problem with an unhosted wallet is, what is your pain point? Said Amanda Wick, who served as a senior policy advisor for the Treasury Department's Financial Crime Enforcement Network and as a federal prosecutor before joining Chain Analysis as chief of legal affairs. So to continue the quote, the only thing we have is civil contempt or criminal conviction. If someone is willing to sit in jail and the money is theirs on the other side because no one can access it, that's a problem. So, as you can hear them say, they are looking for pain points for Bitcoiners. And they realize that there are none, really. So, they're trying to finagle their way. They're trying to angle their way so that they can find ways to confiscate your wealth. And if you read this whole article, that's the underlining narrative of how can we confiscate the wealth of Bitcoiners even when they are quote-unquote domestic terrorists or unsavory or undesirables and they're outside of the system. Well, guys, in their own words, they literally can't touch your money. It's untouchable. It's outside of their system. It's outside of their jurisdiction. If you hodl Bitcoin, if you don't give up your seeds, if you literally don't give them the power to control your money, you're good to go. And the very last sentence of this article, and I'll put it in the description. I didn't put it in the description, but I'll put it for your reading pleasure. This is still Amanda Wick. She works for Chain Analysis, was Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and she said, talking about one of these alt-right dudes, he will be held accountable, and we will get his cryptocurrency. So guys, that's the signal in this. They are angling and trying to find a way to get your Bitcoin, but they can't. So just get back to first principles. Hit your cold storage. Remember your seeds. Put your, you know, get your hard wallets in space. And they can't touch you, guys. Like, they're literally saying this out loud in articles that no matter what they do, they can't touch your Bitcoin. That is super bullish. Extremely bullish. And when I read that article, I was laughing the whole time. But when I saw those quotes, I was like, oh yeah, okay, like there's a signal in this. And we've been talking about this for a long time, that they're going to angle with this narrative, and I think it's just hilarious that they actually did it, because it's like Bitcoiners are always right, and we're just way ahead of the curve. But I see everyone saying some stupid comments, so I'm gonna let you guys jump in. Let's see what Tucson said.
Dude, are you a white supremacist?
I'm a Bitcoin supremacist, sir. Please and thank you. Those are my preferred pronouns. Oh, Tucson. I like that comment. Tucson goes, it's good advertising for us. Scares away the yuppie elite. Beautiful. Skeef, what do you have to say to critics who argue Bitcoin is racist? Stay dumb, you bitch. Oh, man. Yeah, Full Metal. Go on, I guess.
Oh, go.
Yeah, I was just going to comment. Full Metal's comment right here. It's the MySpace of flip phones. So what he's referencing is the Wall Street Journal came out with a video today. Was that today or yesterday? I don't know, whatever. They just came out with this video, and it was basically like a shitcoin shill. And they were saying that Bitcoin is, quote-unquote, a first-generation blockchain equivalent to the flip phone. Okay, for sure. And that second-generation blockchains like Meth or Ethereum are like the original smartphones. And third-generation blockchains like Cardano is like today's modern smartphone. And, man, that video was so cringe. It was so bad. So off the mark. Don't do so missing the mark that they are just wrecking their consumer base. Like, anyone watching Wall Street Journal and still thinks they're legitimate, oh, man.
It was clearly made by somebody who has looked into all this stuff for no more than an hour.
If that. Bro, that, this is the state of things, guys. Like,
solid, we're just living among people. Go. We have to.
Dude. Oh, man. It gets quite frustrating being a Bitcoin, quote unquote, Bitcoin educator, someone that feels like they have their finger on the pulse. And personally, guys, like, I don't consider myself the most informed when it comes to Bitcoin. I like Jim's presentation earlier. I work from first principles, and you can't shake me out of that position because Bitcoin's the way. But, man, like, mainstream media doesn't get Bitcoin, whether willfully ignorant or maliciously ignorant. It's so cringe to see what people put out as the gospel truth, and it's just so wrong. Like, it makes it so obvious how misinformed the majority of people are. And here we are. We're just like, yeah, guys, like, buy Bitcoin. All this other stuff's trash. And then you have an authoritative media source telling you literal trash advice, and people eat it up. So we're still early.
When the crux of your argument is just based on, like, race or political affiliation, you're automatically discredited. Like, get that weak stuff out of here.
Well, it must obviously work on the normie, right, Weiningus?
Yeah, of course. That's, like, what they parrot.
So, I mean, hey, you got to...
If you're a normie, stay dumb.
Stay dumb, you bitch.
Hey, aren't you all right? Hey, aren't you staying dumb?
Yeah, fully. The bad takes, man. Shishi, go in on this. I know you got thoughts on this one, bro. I need to hear the Shishi rant.
Yeah, I'm just, like, so fucking over it. Every time I talk to a normie, I'm just like, wow, like, you're really that dumb? And that's what I say. I literally started saying that since Weinekes brought that into the fold. And I'm like, wow, you're really that dumb? And they're like, that is super insensitive and, like, offensive. And I'm like, well, does it make it not true? Like, why do you care? Like, I'm apolitical. Like, fuck off. Like, you want to talk politics? Go to your fucking dad's dinner table, you know? Like, whatever. You know, but if you want to, like, actually fucking talk to me like a human being and not like some weird fucking brainwashed fool, like, let's talk. And then they're immediately, like, actually, like, ready to talk, which is interesting. It's like almost like they need to be abused a little. You know, it's like the Dieter type of thing, but a little bit. I'm not obviously as brash as Dieter. I just like, you know, I'm like, look, like I don't think you're dumb. That's why I'm talking to you. So I'm spending time on you. You know, that's how I like, you know, swing it the other way. I'm like, I just wanted to like kind of, you know, abort your fucking immediate response, which is what you're used to with like other normies, like just pointing fingers and like, I'm not into that. Right. And so, you know, I think when people start talking politics and you just say I'm apolitical and I'm not voting in any election, like you disarm them like immediately. And whether you are voting or not is irrelevant. Just like a good little tactic, in my opinion. I don't vote though.
I mean, I'd like to believe that what you said is true. Because anytime I tell people that I don't vote, they give me the whole like, oh, you have no say in what's going on. You didn't vote. And I usually come back with like, I actually feel like I have more say in this because I didn't vote for this bullshit. So I think my opinion matters. But I think I'm the outsider.
When people say that, yeah, when people are like, oh, like you got to vote, like, you know, like if you don't vote, it's not, you're not doing anything. And if you vote, at least you can sway in one direction or the other. And I'm like, yeah, but like I'll only vote if there's like a possible way to shrink the size of government, right? Which is like an oxymoron, essentially, right? It's like a catch 22. Like, what politician is going to run on that, you know, platform? Because like the whole idea is that like they become irrelevant eventually, right? So it takes like a special, like, I don't think there's a way to like vote your way into a smaller government. There's just you not like the only way that I vote for something, it's like, hey, do you want to vote for 50% reduction in salaries to government workers? Yes. Let's ride. I'll vote for that. I'll drive the car right now and I'll go vote for it. Marijuana legalization, I'll go and I'll vote for it. You know, whether and I act as if marijuana is legal, right? Like straight up, like, you know, I've never even operated in any other way. People are like, oh my God, is that illegal though? And I'm like, yeah, but like, why is that the first thing out of your mouth? Should be like, let me take a hit, you know, cue the bong rip, hobo. But, I don't think cannabis was legalized because we voted for it. I think cannabis was legalized because we forced the issue and then they just like put this charade in front of us as if we voted for it, right? Like it always has been legal, you know, like because people have been using it, right?
Yeah, I feel like in regards to the cannabis industry, they realized how futile it was to fight it, and the economic incentives of legalizing it, or at least decriminalizing it in most places, you know, one out. So in parallel to Bitcoin, it's all about incentives, and the Bitcoin incentives are far superior than any fiat incentive. And like the war on drugs, the war on cryptocurrency, the war on Bitcoin and shitcoins will just rat around the law. And so people will fall to the incentives. And again, we saw this week, the leading, there he is, hobo, right on cue. The leading candidate for, I think it was Ohio mayor, he's fully orange-pilled. So, oh, no, it was Ohio Senate seat. He said America must double down on Bitcoin. So I think in the same vein, we will see the incentives of Bitcoin creeping in state by state. And like Laser Hoddle has been putting out a lot on Twitter, you know, the balkanization of states is happening in real time. And it's super interesting to watch and, you know, at times terrifying if you're not in the right state. So it's, man, we live in such crazy times right now, and it's so bullish to be a Bitcoiner, even if the price is only going sideways or down. It's everything besides the price is absolutely bullish in regards to Bitcoin. And anyone that's bearish right now, like I really don't get what world you live in, because I'm under the impression the price is going to go crazy. And it's just based on all the bullish fundamentals and the quote unquote adoption of Bitcoin in mainstream media. So Bitcoin is just going to route around all this. And
I actually,
I'm super excited to hear what Skeef's about to say, because I saw him tweeting out some anti, you know, basically like what like a politician adopting Bitcoin is sort of irrelevant on some level. That's like the underlying tone. Skeef can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it just preserves their power for a little bit longer, because if politicians are holding Bitcoin, they're holding, you know, something that's appreciating in value and power, essentially. So like, I won't vote for a politician just because he's just says the word Bitcoin, right? Like, there has to be more to it. But I'm super interested to hear what Skeef's going about to say.
Yeah, so I just think it's super misguided strategy. Like, it's, I think it's a terrible, terrible investment of like energy and resources and whatever. I don't see any evidence that it makes much of a difference. And I think that the way that we ultimately solve all the problems that I think we would all agree on is enough individuals accumulating enough economic power and
wisdom.
I think diverting away from that to, you know, fucking around with politics, I think is bad strategy. But because I think the like the ROI on that investment is terrible. And it's, you know, I don't know, the counter is people always say, well, this one guy had lunch with Ted Cruz and then now Ted Cruz is nice or whatever. And it's like, okay, like if you want to go have lunch with Ted Cruz, I don't give a shit, but don't pretend like any of us in this chat is going to have lunch with Ted Cruz. Like, what they want us to do is spend time calling your senator, you know, donate money to this campaign. Like, that's retarded. That's so retarded.
Agreed.
Yeah, if I could.
Yeah, listen, that's called motherfucking bug.
Jump in, Michael.
So I totally agree with that. I just wanted to kind of weigh in a little bit on where the conversation was a little earlier too. Along the same lines, like my brother, for example, like he has Bitcoin. He doesn't really understand it very well. He's young and he's basically like a socialist. I would love to pay more taxes. I'm like, all right, you're fucking stupid. So here's the thing though. Here's the thing. So I guess there's that old quote, you know, and like it, whatever. If you're not a liberal when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative when you're old, you have no brain, or something like that, right? So, you know, he's young, he doesn't understand, but he holds Bitcoin. So anytime, you know, we talk about this shit, he starts to say, well, he starts to get into like Democrat, Republican. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about any of that shit. Do you have Bitcoin or not? And like, he has Bitcoin, so he's basically protecting himself from all of the bullshit that his political affiliation hopes to perpetuate. Like, and it's like, well, then, you know, if you have Bitcoin, then shut the fuck up. But, you know, if you want to say these things and do these things and, you know, want to get taxed more and want to bend over to the government, then sell your Bitcoin. So I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. It's like, what are you doing? Like, what you're doing is actively, you know, diminishing the ability of the state to do the things that you think you want them to do or that you believe you want them to do. And it's like, if you're holding Bitcoin, then you're a poser. So I think a lot of people, they get tied up in the politics, but it's like, ultimately, if they're holding Bitcoin, they're already doing the thing, whether they're, you know, even if they're whatever, liberal, socialist, like they're acting against what they're currently doing, right? And so it's almost like a human action type thing, like praxeology. It's like, say all these things, but what are you doing with your money? Like, what are you actually doing? And you're starving the government of their ability to do these things. So I don't know. That's just my thing. It's like, I've started to talk to people that are really, you know, political and stuff. And if they're like, you know, super socialist or whatever, and I'm just like, do you have Bitcoin? And they're like, yeah. Then I'm like, okay, then shut the fuck up. Either sell your Bitcoin or like, yeah, move on. So that's just, I just kind of wanted to weigh in. I found that interesting.
I really like that angle, because I found, and this is not even related to Bitcoin, but it relates nicely to how you framed it. I found a lot of people, when you talk politics or even like religion, per se, when you talk about certain topics with people, they hold certain views that they think are correct, that they think is the right thing to say. but then their action is completely opposite to what they say they think. And I Michael just said, if someone claims to be a socialist and they're holding Bitcoin, like, do they really know what they say they are? Because like you said, you know, like, shut up, you own Bitcoin, you literally don't know what you're talking about. So
right.
I find a lot of people are like that they think a certain way, but their actions, you know, betray their ideology, and they can't circle that square. They still think in certain ways, even though they act another way, and they'll, you know, do whatever mental gymnastics they have to make it seem proper and aligned with their ideology. But I think that's just like a side note to, you know, humanity. Humans are funny.
Yeah, it's just this interesting thing where, again, it's like people can vote. They can like a social media post or like tweet about Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whatever the hell they want to do. But like, if they have Bitcoin, then they're just, they're voting with their money. Like, it's like I said, human action, like praxeology. It's like, it doesn't matter what you say. The only thing that matters is your action. And if you're actively holding Bitcoin, then yeah, you're like, you don't care about politics, whether you know it or not.
Right. And man, it's such a good framing right there of, it doesn't matter what you say, it's your actions that really matter. And especially today in the world that we live in this clown world that we live in this PC culture world, you can't say anything. And, but people act this way. So it's like, it's human action. You know, what kind of person are you to stop a human from acting? You must be a commie.
Right. Right. And additionally, I wanted to say, so, you know, we were talking about how the news, you know, the media just shapes this narrative around Bitcoin, and it's really misleading. It's just terrible, right? It's like, whether they do it intentionally or not, there's both in there. And, you know, so the other day I went to, well, this is like a couple of weeks ago, I went to a business. I'm like trying to orange pill him, right? And I came back like a week later, and he's like now really interested in like all this, you know, Bitcoin stuff and crypto. And he's like, have you heard about XRP? You know, and I'm like, no, did you not listen to anything I told you? Right. So that was sad. You know, there's so much noise out there, and I'm like, fuck. But anyway, I come back this week and I'm chatting with him, and I guess he had found Robert Kiyosaki. He follows him, and Robert Breedlove was on there just, you know, dropping his bombs on fiat debt slavery and, you know, so on. And now the guy's like, he's like, I listened to this podcast with Robert Breedlove, and it like opened up my mind to everything. And I'm like, you know, so some people are just not going to make it, obviously, but all roads still lead to Bitcoin. But some people like just love to, you know, crawl around and drink the sewage before they get there. Like, this guy was almost there. He was like so close, but then just one YouTube video like changed his entire perspective. Just, you know, so there's hope. There's hope, man.
Man, I don't know whether to applaud the power of Bitcoin content or to remark on the weak mentals of your buddy, but maybe that's a bigger problem at large. Is our content that good, or are people that dumb?
I had such a cringe experience similar in that way yesterday. So similar with this XRP story you just had, Duda. I post something about Bitcoin on my, I post Instagram for me is like my normie megaphone, like billboard, you know, like I know I'm speaking to like everyone who's looking at my shit is like normie, you know? So I just post propaganda on there. Like literally nothing of my life. It's just literally propaganda. So
yeah. Orange pill propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. Anti-vax orange pill stuff. Like, yeah. All day. And I have the laser eyes on and everything, so people like ask about it, and it's like funny. But I post something about Bitcoin, and my friend messages me like, hey, like, I need to talk to you. And he sends me a picture of Charles Hoskinson.
Okay.
And I'm like, why is this guy sending me a picture of Charles Hoskinson? So I go to his page, and he got, like, he did, like, an artwork that was, like, voted, whatever, and, like, given to him, and he got, like, some money for it or something for his art, you know? And it's, and I have to try to explain to this guy why I think it's a scam. And this guy is, like, getting a bunch of circle jerk around his art, right? His art's pretty good. But it's, like, you know, he's supporting a scammer, yeah. Right? And I gave him, like, the spiel, no answer, zero answer. And, yeah, it was sad. And wait, I've been talking about Bitcoin for like a year.
Shishi, your friend's so, the artist?
Yeah, he's like, why is it a scam? You're going to have to bring me facts. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, like, where are your sources?
No, like, it's like, it's more like, why isn't it a scam, right? Like, you bring me the
facts. Yeah, you explain to me why it isn't a scam.
Yeah. I honestly, like... I needed wine and kiss with a soundboard there.
Man. What a crazy time.
I thought that was going to go in a better direction. I thought you were going to say you weren't chilled.
No, it's like, go ask him. I was like, say this to him. Be like, aren't you the co-founder of ETH? Winicus hooked me up with that one liner too.
Did he do it?
No. But I did tell him to look into that, which is like the easiest way to discredit it, because it's like two times where he like funded his life with like public money, right?
Yeah. Do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to?
The CEO. Fat Boy Charlie every time too. I was like, oh, you're with Fat Boy Charlie.
Oh man. Honestly, I feel your pain. One of my friends that I tried to orange pill a while ago just put on his Instagram that he created an NFT, and I was about to shit all over him, but I just ignored him. I'm just like, all right, whatever, dude. Like, you didn't learn a thing. So, on to the next one.
Speaking of NFTs, I have a question for you. Did you see that like rich there's like some rich prince I saw like on Bloomberg that's like using NFTs to like restore his like old building, his old like castle or whatever.
How does that work?
Yeah, it's a scam. Literally as scammy as you think it is. So he's like taking pictures of like pieces of the building that need restoration and auctioning them off. And you're basically supposedly helping him restore it.
Wow. Sounds lit, dude. The future is going to be lit.
You see, like...
tell your friend that that's basically what Charles Hoskinson is doing.
Right?
Except it's not a physical house. It's just his...
It's a digital house.
Dude, this prince is way better. He's doing way better things with the money than Charles Hoskinson. Charles Hoskinson's like paying for hookers and like fucking
shishi.
Like a huge ranch.
Shishi, that sounds very commie of you, bro.
Yeah. But, you know,
hookers and prostitutes need my money too, shishi.
I mean, to be honest, like, you're right. I just don't think that, the public should be funding your vices, but hey.
I agree.
The reason why I brought that up is because people with like legitimacy are kind of using it just to like, you know, it's this like amazing like pump and dump, right? And it's just like they're using it to their own benefit. Like, hey, you're gonna help me rebuild my own house because it's old. Like, what? Like, you're a prince, dude. Like, you're rich. Like, fix your own shit.
Well, I mean. We all know NFTs are basically the new age version of money laundering. So that prince is on a sick one right now. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Coming out like a fat rat.
He also has Cardano, according to the article.
Nice. We need yellow. We need yellow. Cardano.
Yo, I asked him one simple question, which is why he didn't answer me. I was like, "What problem are they solving?" And that's like the boondoggle.
Yeah, man. That's the 21 million question, right? Like, what problem are any of these things solving? With Bitcoin, it's easy. It's hard money. We don't have hard money anymore. It's simple. I don't know what all that other shit's doing.
Dude, you're supporting a prince, dude. He's destitute. He lives in a castle. Please
help him. Dang, man. I've been waiting for a throwback monarchy, bro. Now I can do it on the blockchain. Woo! Sounds lit. I mean, since we're going, yeah, there he is. Woo! Man. Jeez. Yellow's pops threw me off a little bit. Linicus, what's the next topic we got? What are we doing?
Before you guys go to the next topic, I was actually thinking about this at the beginning of the episode, that Winicus's diversity of sounds was so atrocious the last few weeks, but he's making up for it.
Well, that's what happens when you give a 3-year-old a soundboard, huh?
That's the intern playing with you. What do you mean?
Oh, man. Don't give.
There's like a 20-second delay.
For reals. Don't give the intern the soundboard. Okay. I think we will we'll wrap this one up on does anyone have a good handle on what the hell Janet Yellen's doing this week? Cuz I'm not going to lie, I didn't really follow it too much. I have a few sound bites.
She's super dumb.
Well, I mean, stay dumb, bitch.
She's staying super dumb.
Yeah. So, just some headlines I saw. Apparently, Janet Yellen is saying that the U.S. will, quote unquote, run out of cash in October unless Congress raises the national debt limit. Whew. Sounds super tight. Get it.
Put me in, bro. No, seriously, like I told you on Twitter, like, have you fundraised for the fucking that needs to happen?
For the culture?
Or not? Because I'm ready, bro. This is the time.
Oh, shit. Tucson, elaborate on that. On your last comment. And Shishi, I have not raised the Bitcoin for you to train Janet Yellen yet. But if the people want it, I'm sure we can fundraise. We can, we'll set up a BTC pay for you or something.
Dude, now that they have unrealized gains that might be taxed, maybe it's tax deductible. That's what you got to say to people.
Wow. Yeah, dude, Janet Yellen is wilding this week. They're saying they want to tax our unrealized gains. It's absolutely insane. They want to raise the debt limit, the debt ceiling. They want to track all your transactions. It seems like we're heading into a really nice future, guys. I don't know about you, but man, it's looking up. God damn. Motherfuckers wilding out here, dude. Guys, call your politician and tell them, stay dumb, you bish. Because this is retarded. Oh, regarded.
Someone calls Skeef's politician. He's not going to do it. I'm not doing that shit either.
Yeah, I don't call politicians. Yeah, man. I wasn't political before Bitcoin. You think I'm going to call a fucking politician now with Bitcoin? Like, I don't know. Team Skeef, let's go. All right, so Tucson said, call your politician to ask them to default on debt. I asked him to elaborate, and he wrote, calling your politician would be a waste of time. Yes, we know this. But a default would cut spending dramatically and cause the government to contract. Regulators wouldn't be able to enforce things, and free markets would rise. Let's go. Bullish on that. But Tucson, we all know that's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was That was my question, was how long does a shutdown have to last before I can go hunting in a national park? Because that's, if I find myself in the misfortunate situation where I'm talking to somebody that actually gives a shit about politics, I just like to ask them extremely retarded questions like that. So they're like, you know, oh, Biden did this. Did you hear about this? Hey, how long does this shutdown have to last before I get to go shoot a buffalo in Yellowstone? So that's my main thing I'm trying to figure out. I think 6 months might be enough.
Yeah, that'd be my guess, 6 months. But I don't know. It could happen sooner, huh? Weineke is soon. Yeah, man. Hunting buffalo in Yellowstone. That sounds... I'm kind of down. Let's all call Janet Yellen and ask them to default on the debt. We could all have a nice Bitcoin hunting trip. Eat some bison. Exactly. Wayne Yellowstone buffalo hunt. Sounds lit. I'm excited. Yo, I've never been more excited for anything in my life.
This might be the thing that gets us canceled.
Dude, we just want to go hunting, Weinikus. It's not that big of a deal.
Yo, raising money for fucking Janet Yellen is not hunting, you sick fuck.
Oh, dude, you literally are hunting a bison. Wow. Phew. Holy shit. Sheesh, for the culture. Man.
No, but on a serious note, I'll rant on this. If she wants to tax unrealized gains, that sucks for the stockholders. That sucks.
Well, come on, Sheesh, though. We all know that if that was the laws, they would exempt themselves.
Well, right, this whole idea of like taxing the rich is super popular. I'm sure, you know, I don't want to name any names, but we saw the dress, right? We see the pop culture references. She's like Voldemort. I don't say her name. And yeah, I mean, like, that is just gaining steam, like a wealth tax, like all that shit. And I think Bitcoiners are, you know, in every collapse, there's a scapegoat, right? There's a scapegoat. And in 08, the scapegoat, like, they almost didn't even need one because of this bailout and whatever. Like, somehow they barely needed a scapegoat. But I think Bitcoiners are like an ideal scapegoat here, right? Like, and so, I mean, they can come get it. They can try to come get our Bitcoin. Like, somebody's going to lose some limbs, maybe get, you know, I mean, I can't imagine us going quietly into the night. All right. So, and the people who leave it on exchanges, like, aren't really holding Bitcoin anyways. They're planning on selling it regardless. Right. So whatever, I don't care about that either. But I think people who hold stocks and all that stuff, like, obviously, when you tax the top, like, the top can make the whole thing tumble down, right? And I think that's like the controlled demolition, like Building 7-esque, right? 9/11. It's like, okay, they see this thing coming. They know it's inevitable, but it's sort of like they get to control the demolition before, you know, you get to blame them. They say, oh no, like, we taxed the rich just like you wanted. And we did it with this like pseudo wealth tax, and yeah, it crashed your 401k, but like, we taxed the rich, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, Shishi, we saw that this week, like, they're definitely posturing for that angle. And like Tucson put in here, like, we are the rich they want to tax, you know, like.
No, but it's like, it's really just a controlled demolition, right? Because if they get, there's wild, like, when I go to Normieland, there's like wild support for, you know.
Oh yeah.
There's wild support for that. So basically, like, when, if markets were to collapse and pensions were to collapse and whatever, they can just blame it on their own popular ideas. So like, no one will, you know, and then they're like, oh no, it's the Bitcoiners. Like, they're the ones, the reason why it collapsed. It wouldn't have collapsed if Bitcoiners weren't, you know, evading taxes or whatever, which we're not, which is, we're just not selling it, so there's no taxes, you know. So but yeah, control demolition always.
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely back your controlled demolition viewpoint. From the more I read, the more I see this clown world play out in real time, the more that's the only option I can, like, the only logical option I can lay my hat on is that these people are, you know, controlled demolition. Like, I can't say that these people are dumb. I used to be the ones that be like, oh no, politicians are stupid. Now it's going towards the lines like these people are malicious and they want to see this fall slowly and surely. And like, it's playing out in real time, dude. They, you know, as Nico says all the time, like, they want to take down America and they're doing it slowly. And man, they can't
I'll
now.
I'll give you some secondary thoughts on this. Okay. So, right, you see Michael Burry's tweets like alluding to 1929, that era where everyone was invested into something, right? And everyone was talking about their investments, right? Or their asset allocation, right? Like, even like that time, the elevator guy, you know, the guy who operated the elevators, telling you what he was in, right? And I think this is like, that's like one controlled demolition, right? You can actually look at it that way. And when you have everyone invested, right, and they see their gains, they're like, they're holding, right? And so if you can get everybody in, and then send the market down, well, you know, they have to get back to work, right? They have to sort of like go begging for fiat again, right? Or wait for the government to save them in some sort of like UBI format, right? Like STIMI format, right? And so that's one theory as well, that they're like pumping it up, getting as many people to FOMO the top as per usual. You know, you see that the Fed governors are invested and they're pumping their own positions and then selling the top, right? And saying, oh no, for ethical reasons, like, you know, this came out and we sold. It's like, okay. Yeah. Or it's just this like controlled demolition where everyone then has to like sort of like, you know, deal with, you know, how many people do you think leverage their stock positions just like Bitcoin or some people with Bitcoin did on the initial run up to 64K? You know, dude, a lot of fucking people, man. Like your bank will offer it to you, right? That you'll get like next time you call your bank, like whatever your stocks go up, like, They'll literally offer it to you. I mean, my friends tell me that. You know, I don't have any other shit. I've been offered just based on, like, my paycheck before. You know, like, oh, your paycheck's sufficient to get, like, this much debt. I'm like, I didn't ask you for any debt. I just want, like, a new debit card. Like, I lost it. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, just that's just one of the theories that I think is, like, an obvious one that, like, always plays out.
Sounds right to me. Man. I think I've asked you guys this question every week now for the last couple of weeks, but imagine not having Bitcoin. Like, I'd be losing my mind right now if I'd actually I'm gonna take a different point of view. If I didn't have Bitcoin, I think I'd be just asleep as everyone else is right now. So I think it's not to knock the normie, because I know we do that a lot. We like to poke fun at the normie. We talk a lot of shit, drop a lot of jokes. But if you're not in this space, if you don't follow this news like we do consistently daily, you know, minute by minute, then you can get lost in the noise. And furthermore, you stick your head in the sand because you don't even want to fill up your brain with all this noise, because you know there's so much bullshit out there that you don't even have time to decipher it. You don't have time to research it. And so you're just oblivious to it all. So, you know, I'm gonna be empathetic to my normies out there. And I feel you. I understand your predicament. I know it seems like an impossible place to be at, and you don't know what the hell to do, but that's why we're here, and that's why we will continue to talk Bitcoin, because we really just have to ask the majority of people one simple question, like, what do you think is you know, the biggest problem facing the world right now? And like a good Bitcoiner, we will always, always end that conversation with Bitcoin Fixes This. So I'm going to be a little nicer today. Shouts out to my normies out there. Shouts out to my pre-coiners out there. I know you're in a tough position. I know you are being blasted with information. I was going to say gaslight, being gaslit, but I fully don't even know what that means. So I'm not even going to say it. Well, I guess it won't be nice. But I see the predicament most people are in. And if you don't have a reason to realize that we have a problem right now, you're just going to try to keep going as normal and try to avoid problems, because that's how humans are. You know, we want to streamline our life as much as possible and make sure that we are living better and more comfortably. And Bitcoin is here for you. So whenever you're ready, Bitcoin will be the life raft, and we will continue to show Bitcoin for you, and we'll continue to orange pill you. And with that comes us not being so nice all the time, which kind of brings up a funny topic. We're past an hour. We're at an hour 20, but it still feels like we can go for a little while. But this whole Bitcoiners are toxic meme is coming back up again. We went through this in, 2018, 2019. Now we have more Bitcoiners in the space. And I guess, guys, we're too mean. We're a bunch of meanies out here, because we don't mince words, and sometimes we don't really care that you're on training wheels. And we'll fucking hit you with nothing but signal. And I think it's just hilarious. Like, trying to bunch everyone in as a mean Bitcoiner is ridiculous, first off. And and second off, like, I like toxicity. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Without toxic Bitcoiners, without toxic Bitcoin maximalists, I wouldn't be where I am today. Shishi said it earlier. Sometimes people need, not even Shishi Bob. like Shishi Bob said, sometimes people need a kick in the ass. And that's who I was. I needed a kick in the ass. I needed someone to be quote unquote mean and, you know, tell me the truth, even if it hurt my feelings. And now I'm here, and I will forever be thankful and grateful to the toxic Bitcoiners out there. So, guys, if people don't like what you say, who gives a fuck? Like, Bitcoin will succeed with or without me. I am just one person, and the network will do what it does. No meanie will stop the network, and that's a feature, not a bug. If mean people could destroy the network, then we wouldn't be here, guys. Bitcoin wouldn't be anything. So, you know, who gives a fuck if people are toxic? People are assholes. It is what it is, you know? People are afraid to come here and talk with us because they think we're toxic, but we're really just a bunch of nice guys that like Bitcoin and don't have the patience to deal with your shitcoinery.
The places where you hear things comfort. It's all the normies. The places where you're finding out information that is comforting to you is not the right place to look.
I really like that framing, Weinikus, because especially now, my Twitter is a Bitcoin safe space, so I pretty much agree with everyone on my Twitter, and I did that on purpose. But there was a point where disagreeing with people helped me a lot. And, you know, I think I should maybe get back to getting a little more disagreeableness in my Twitter feed. But so many Bitcoiners that it's too nice of a space, man. Like, why ruin a good thing? You know what I'm saying?
Only Bitcoiners are right. But everywhere else where you're finding information that is comforting to you is probably not the right place to look.
So, are Bulltards comforting? Because I love Bulltards.
You love Boltards?
I love Boltards. Hashtag Optimus likes Boltards. Because that comforts me. I don't like to see bearish charts on my feed, bro. That makes me feel uncomfortable. This is a safe space.
Yeah, if you're not a Boltard, then what are you even doing? That means you have no hope for the future.
Oof. Get him.
The art of the tard.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Before we spiral downwards like we did last week, Winikus, is there anything you want to talk about? Any topic? Or anyone in the classroom?
Me.
You?
Memes. Me.
Memes. What do you want to talk about memes? And then we'll wrap it up.
The here come memes.
Oh, okay. Actually, I was wondering about that. I'm out of the loop on this, so I'm not one to speak, but Winikus, this is your forte. What's this about? And also, dude, what's banana bread? I feel like an old guy over here. I don't know these Bitcoin memes anymore.
Dude, these little memes happen in very small pockets of people that are like having conversations behind the scenes, where they dictate basically what the next trend is, and then everyone just feasts on it. So that's all I can say.
Wow, you guys are having backdoor meme meetings?
Dude, there is a full-on like meme cabal out there.
Wow. Do we need to decentralize this? Is this a centralizing feature that we need to worry about?
I don't know. This is like the good kind of communism right now.
Centralize the meme. The memes of production shall be ours.
The memes of production.
Oh, man. Holy shit. Wow.
Somebody just has to come with better memes or more catchy things, and then...
Dude, how do you compete with a meme cabal, though? I am just a single memer. I cannot compete with the meme syndicate.
I don't know.
Got to get me in these back circles. It must be nice having this insider information, huh, Winikus?
Yeah, like I kind of understand Vax passports now.
I kind of understand Jerome Powell and pumping his own bags. Insider information is lit.
I have sympathy for Johnny Yellen now.
Wow. That's big. I won't go that far.
Just kidding.
All right, guys. I don't know if you guys are enjoying this banter, but I sure as hell am. And we do this for you, but we do this for my enjoyment as well. Yeah, Tucson gets it. Let's go. All right, guys. We're at an hour and a half. It's been a great show. We had Jim do an hour-long rant earlier, and here we are. We did an hour and a half in Teacher's Lounge, and we thank every single one of you that came out. Jestifer is still not here. He is...
He's famous.
Yeah, he's on the other side of the pond. He's big famous now. Go listen to a Stefan Lavera podcast. This guy made it. Shouts out to our boy, Jestifer. Who knows when he'll come back. I think our Bitcoin kindergarten alumni class just got bigger. They're all outshining us, Winikus.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say that. Like, oh, he goes on Stefan Lavera and then he's not here. I was just didn't want to call him out.
Sheeshy, coming in hot like always.
It's like, damn, bro, like you're just gonna leave us in the dust like that.
You just did us dirty like that. Fuck.
We'll stay on the bell curve for as long as it takes.
Skeef asking the hard questions. Who has a bigger entourage, Jestifer or Nick? Wow. Honestly,
now, but I would have.
Dude, Nick has the thoughts. Nick has the thought entourage. He's got all the little boppers, so I don't know, man. But Jestifer's got all the lightning. Lightning people. I think it's Justifer, bro.
If you're bullish on Lightning Network, then Justifer is going to be taking over.
Groupies for sure count. Nick. If groupies count, then it's Nick, without a doubt. That little kid got boppers. All right, guys. I'm just talking nonsense now. Weinikus, what's up, dude? You wanna give the last words for the people? Show them you love them.
I just want to click the soundboard.
Hit it. Dude, you're supposed to go crazy on it. Anyways, guys, we will teach Weinikus how to use the soundboard by next show.
Yeah. Now listen, that's called motherfucking bars.
me and Weinikus will be back next week. Hopefully, we don't get canceled. Hopefully, the show hasn't complete. Important. What?
This is very organized.
I was just about to say, hopefully the show doesn't completely go off the rails since we don't have Papa Justifer here to keep us on track. So just be aware. We're going to get really regarded for the next couple of weeks. Left side of the bell curve, Bitcoin content. Not serious Bitcoin content. We'll give you the serious news. But... We're here for the lols and the memes. We are memers, and this is Bitcoin content that we are memeing to the moon. So, guys, we will be here. Yes, Moses gets it. We will not get canceled on quarter four. Let's fucking go, boys. We're going to make it another year. All right, guys. This is Optimus Fields. This is Bitcoin Kindergarten. This is Teacher's Lounge. Shouts out to everyone in Discord. Shouts out to everyone on YouTube. Shouts out to everyone that listens on their favorite podcasting apps. We love all you guys. Come troll us in Discord, in our YouTube. Drop us messages on YouTube. Give us the like, subscribe, do all that gay shit so you can push us in the algorithm so people can get this content because it's needed. As you can tell, that great, great orange signal is needed. All right, boys and women, the one woman that listens, we will see you next week. Peace.